Hey, what's going on? Happy Thursday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a bit, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. But first, let's recap the Reds game from Wednesday. Reds trying to avoid a sweep in Seattle, and they did get off to a good start. Ellie De La Cruz hit a solo home run to right center field in the second inning that put the Reds up 1-0. Unfortunately, that was the only hit the Reds would get on the entire day. The only other base runner was a Tyler Stevenson walk. Andrew Abbott, he was pretty good again. He was able to work around some traffic on the base pass. And the only two blemishes on the day for him were two solo home runs. Abbott left with the Reds trailing 2-1 going into the seventh. Lucas Sims, he gave up a solo home run on the very first pitch that he threw to Josh Rojas. Sims then walked the next batter, Jonathan Clase, but then he did rebound and strike out Julio Rodriguez. However, during the at-bat to Julio, Clase stole second base, but Julio's swing brought him over the middle of the plate, and I honestly have no idea why interference was not called. Clearly blocked the throw of Tyler Stevenson. They made contact, but nonetheless, nothing was called. And that did prove to be important at the time because the next batter, Mitch Haniger, singled to make it 4-1 Mariners, and then Sims really lost it after that. He walked three batters, including walking in the Mariners' fifth run. David Bell went to Alexis Diaz, probably more so just to get him some work, more so than to try to salvage whatever was left. Diaz did get a strikeout to end the seventh inning for the Reds. Diaz would also throw a scoreless eighth, but the Reds, their batters were retired 22 straight times by the Seattle pitching to end this game. And the Reds, after just sweeping the White Sox, only allowing five runs in that entire three-game series to the White Sox, they turn around in Seattle, they get swept by the Mariners, and the Reds only score, you guessed it, exactly five runs in the series themselves. Reds now back to 500 at 9-9 on the season. Here's what Reds manager David Bell had to say after the game.
These guys can pitch, there's no question. Of course, never want to get swept, but, you know, three games, it doesn't define our team by any means. So not happy about this, how it went. To your point, they made it tough. They really did. They had really good arms, made pitches through strikes. At this point now, just looking forward to going home and coming out and playing the way we play, playing hard on Friday night.
Abbott certainly did enough to give you guys a chance to win.
He pitched great. Yeah, he pitched. It's exactly what you want. He did exactly what we want him to do, but exactly what he needs to do to be successful. He threw strikes, used his fastball really well. I mean, you can live with the solo homers, but he keeps doing that. Good things are going to happen for sure.
When you do face a team like this that can throw a bunch of strikes and pitch as well as they do, how much does that sort of highlight all the guys that you're missing right now?
Yeah, I mean, of course, we want everyone here. We want everyone healthy. We talked about it earlier. I mean, all teams go through this, and you know, our team fully expected to go out and win today, so it's not about that. We do want our guys back. We want them to be feeling better, and hopefully we'll be full strength on Friday night.
And here was Wednesday's starting pitcher, Andrew Abbott.
Comes in loss, but you had to feel pretty good about what you accomplished today.
Yeah, pretty good. You know, just a few mistake pitches. They put some good swings on them. But other than that, I was able to execute, you know, keep them off balance and do some early and soft contact. Was able to spot up some pitches and whatnot. But, you know, major league hitters are going to hit mistakes. So they just put some good swings on those two. And, you know, I was able to keep us in the game as long as possible. You know, it doesn't always work out. So, you know, just wipe it and move on to the next.
On the two that you did give up, just catch too much play. One of them, I know you're trying to get inside. Didn't quite get in there?
Yeah, the one that Cal was actually in, it was just down. Yeah. And he put a really good swing on it. And then I think, was it Garver? The other one that hit the homer, that one was just like middle up. Yeah. So just, you know, not too bad pitches by means, but just not exactly where I wanted to go.
I know it's not really your side of the game here, but when you look at a series like this, do you guys start feeling the losses of some of the guys that are on the sidelines, on the IL, maybe the guys that are sick today?
It's never a good feeling, for sure. But, you know, we're a major league team. We got to figure out ways to win, you know, whoever's missing, whoever's hurt or whatnot. And, you know, we have the guys capable on the roster that, you know, if somebody goes down or somebody's sick for a few days, that we can easily fill their slots. It just comes down, they have really good pitchers. You know, they're able to execute on us. And, you know, we know that the hitting is going to come around and the pitching needs to just stay steady.
All right, it's not often our deep drive of the game is the only hit of the game for the Reds, but our deep drive of the game from Wednesday was Ellie De La Cruz's solo home run in the second inning, 103.8 off the bat, going 391 feet to right center field. And our deep drive of the game, sponsored as always by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. All right, checking out scores around the NL Central. The Brewers won 1-0 over the Padres. Pirates, they lost 9-1 to the Mets. Cardinals lost 6-3 to the Oakland A's. And the Cubs beat the Diamondbacks 5-3. So your NL Central standings on Thursday morning, Brewers 11-6. Cubs 11-7, Pirates 11-8, Reds sit at 9-9, and the Cardinals are 9-10. All right, well, here is myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube, trying the best we can to keep the vibes high after an ugly series sweep for the Reds in Seattle.
One hit, one. I mean, don't tear the ball off the cover down there in Seattle now. I mean, hey, don't even worry about it. Oh, don't even worry about it. Hell, honestly, it'd been better off if we decided just to not even bring the bats. Save them. One run on one hit. I am so thankful. This is going to be one hell of a show. I got to be honest with you. It's going to be one hell of a show. We got to see what rabbit you pull out of the hat tonight. I am glad to see, though, that you have the Ted Lasso jersey on, because, boy, do you need that today.
What's up, Trace? How are we doing?
I think I've been better. I tell you what, I've got this show all over the place already. And you know what's funny? It's still better than the game. Nick's just laughing. This is how you know when Nick's just like, you know what? What do you want me to say? I can't really say a whole lot tonight or today because you know, let's be honest. I don't want to say it was a Sunday in Oakland because it wasn't a Sunday in Oakland. You know why? Because a Sunday in Oakland, I actually felt like the Reds were actually playing okay baseball and they might have won the game. Today, to be honest, I my hope is dwindling, as Summer's saying. You still have faith, though, don't you?
Yeah, I have not lost full faith after a 10-10 start.
10-10. I mean, we've played the Sisters of the Poor, the Sisters of the Blind, and the Sisters of the One-Armed, and we're 10-10. Maybe, I mean, I'm gonna need your help today, because you know what? I'm falling. I'm in quicksand right now, Nick, and I'm going down fast.
It's a good thing they swept the White Sox. But you sweep a team, look, it gives you a little bit more of a margin for error. It's a long season. Yeah. This was a rough series. That's how it goes.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, chat. We'll do our best to do this show. Nick, you know, Nick has an appointment. This is hilarious to say out loud. Nick has an appointment. He's got a hard stop at 7:50. If I'm talking about the Reds today until 7:50, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm probably going to be behind me when this show's over, laying in the middle of my basement, completely dead. Just saying.
I mean, you can keep going. I'll jump off. You keep going.
Oh, I
got it.
I don't. I don't got any of that in me. At this point, I'm gonna see if we can't get Fetters and Rick S and Scott down there at Great American on Friday and see if we can't find a way to put a ball in play. Got India stat line. Good God.
He made the graphic.
All right, let's do it. We got a show to do. Let's all remember this is just a baseball game that we center our lives around. Do 162 shows for. Take time out of our families' lives, our kids' lives, our own lives, if you think about it. I mean, we only have so much time on this God's green earth, and here we are. We could be climbing the Rockies. We could be looking at Mount Everest. We could be visiting, you know, I don't know, maybe a national park. Could be gazing at the sunsets every night in the middle of the Maui. But nope, we watch this Cincinnati Reds team, this franchise. And this year, right now, on April 17th, as much as I love Stuart Fairchild, we're watching a team that has him hitting in the three hole. And against right-handed pitching, by the way. Let's not get it twisted. I don't know what to do, Nick. I thought we were good. I really did. You're going to have to talk me off the deep end here. I'm just going to shut up, because otherwise I'm just going to be one sinking ship the entire time. I don't know what to say. Jonathan India, you have the offense on there. You might as well change that to offensive, by the way. I wouldn't even call it offense. This is your time to shine, Nick. I'll let you go. I don't know what to say about India. He got to swing the bat, first and foremost, usually, to put the ball in play. But
yeah, I think India pretty clearly needs a day off. I'm sure if Candelario was healthy or whatever is going on with him, he probably would have got that off day to day. It seems like he's maybe caught in between, kind of feels like, on some of the at-bats that he's had. Look, these are three really, really good pitchers. What else do you say?
It is what it is. I know. It's a tough show. It's a tough show, Nick. This is the toughest show we've done in a long time. Same.
They're great pitchers. The Reds' offense was terrible outside of Ellie De La Cruz. And I'll also say outside of Spencer Steer. I thought Spencer Steer had another hard hit ball. The Reds, this is not a game where you can make any hard hit excuses. They only had three hard hit balls the whole day. I thought Steer also got really squeezed in an at bat late as well. But other than that, I mean, it's a tough watch. I don't agree with batting Stuart Fairchild third. The thing I like about David Bell is he usually puts his guys in spots to succeed.
Yeah.
Stuart Fairchild third against a really good right-handed pitcher. Not exactly putting him in a spot to succeed. I know he wants to keep the lineup structure, and that's important to him and I guess the players, but none of that matters. Like, throw out whatever lineup you want. It's not going to matter today with the nine hitters the Reds had out there. I mean, even Nick Martina, guys, looked good, was 0-for-3 with three strikeouts today. Will Benson had some pretty ugly at-bats. That's not very common for him.
How could you fill out a lineup card and put Stuart Fairchild in the three hole? I'll never know. But you know what? I'm also not going to blame David Bell because they got one hit. Did I say that already? They got one hit. So yeah, you can mix and match that all you want. You know what that's like? That's like having three piles of turds. I'm going to try to keep it. This is a kid's show. It is 6:59 in the middle of the day. Got to keep it a kid's show. They got like three piles of turds. It doesn't matter how you mix them up in the bowl, man. They're all turds. You know what I'm saying? When you get one hit, Nick, you can mix around the lineup however you want, but ultimately at the end of the day, it is what it is. So, I don't know. I guess I'm at the point now where this show's relatively simple. They're going to have to find some lightning in a bottle and have some guys play over their head until we get some guys back that are better. Simple as that. I need TJ Friedl to come back soon. Nuelve Marte is obviously, he's gone for a while. I know TJ Friedl, or not TJ Friedl, excuse me, Matt McClain's gone for a while. I was like, I'm down in the dumps. And maybe it's just because they had three good starters, to be fair, but it also doesn't make me feel good about the concept that if we go up against good starters, is this the norm? Is this like, is this what to expect, or is this just an outlier? I don't know. Usually decent offensive teams, Nick, at least if you can bear with me here, at least I would argue decent offensive teams aren't going to have three straight days of what we witnessed. That's all.
There's not really a whole lot of answers right now. I mean,
no, there's not.
I wish there was. I mean, the only thing that you could maybe do is you could call up a guy like Mike Ford. So when you have a day like today, when you can't play Candelario, you have another bat that you can throw in there, but it's not going to move the needle that much. Is Bubba Thompson's roster spot really being utilized? Is it, you know, it was nice early in the year when he stole a couple bases, but when's the last time we even saw Bubba Thompson in a game? They're not even using him as a defensive replacement, so it does almost feel like that roster spot's maybe being wasted right now, but it's also not going to move the needle. It's like when we called up Henry Ramos. Yeah, it was nice for a week, but it didn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, he to be fair to Henry, and I know we usually... He provided a little bit of a spark for like a game or two. And I'm not sure, suggesting, yeah. I know what you're saying. To
no
be fair to you.
Respect to Henry.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, he's got a family too. We all have families, at least most of us, you know. And if you don't have one, by all means, don't pick the Reds as your favorite franchise to watch, because then it won't make you feel much better. I don't know what to say, guys. Like, I really don't know what to say, because at the end of the day, you got to have Major League Baseball players on your team to be able to be competitive in Major League Baseball games. And I hate to say this, but I'm starting to wonder how many Major League Baseball players we have right now that are available to us. That's all. Maybe I'm being unfair in saying that, but this is the lowest day of the season so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's reason to be concerned with the offense and their overall ability to succeed long-term. I think there's also a lot of credit that has to go to Seattle. I think both things can be true. But look, I don't know if this makes anyone feel better or not, but the 2010 Reds team, a team that I absolutely love, so I've gone back and watched a lot of the old games, and I just really enjoy, you know, during the offseason watching those games. They played Seattle. They came in 37-30. They were playing great baseball. They lost 1-0, 5-1, and 1-0, and got swept in Seattle. So look, you're playing on the West Coast. You're facing really, really good pitchers. It's not a good trend, but I also don't think it's necessarily something that's so damning that, you know, man, we have to go overboard and panic on at the same time. It's just, you know, tomorrow's a great day to have an off day. You know, thank God they're off tomorrow. They get to fly home. They get to get acclimated back to Cincinnati. And hopefully you can play a little bit better at home against the Angels.
I certainly hope so. And you know what? If they find a way to win the series against the Angels, then okay, we're back. You know, but it just feels like, not a lot went right this series. And, you know, I got to admit, I don't mean to say that I said I told you so, but I think I had said I really just want to get one and keep some of what we gained in Chicago. And we just gave it right back. That's kind of how it feels. But you know what? It is 162. The bigger concern I have, which again, it might just be where I'm at. I might be overreacting, guys. I'm trying not to, but I just don't know how good this team is right now. I don't know how good they are. Period. I don't know how good they are. Period. Period. This isn't like a fluke, is what I'm worried about. And I know that might be overreacting, to be fair. You take away some of the pieces that again we said, oh, it's gonna be tough to overcome. And if Candelario, and I guess he's sick, right? Like, we don't have to worry about him being out for a considerable amount of time, I hope. But the worry, I guess, more than anything, is how thin they are too. I'm not trying to be overly pessimistic, but let's be honest. Like, they're one more injury away from just miserable existences. But you know what? I'm not gonna do that. We're gonna stay healthy. We're gonna find a way to. Is there any chance we have anybody that can come help us? I mean, there isn't, is there? There's just not.
There's Mike Ford and there's Connor Capel.
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
They're not. They're not Ellie De La Cruz coming up and helping you. They're not Matt McClain coming up and helping you. They're not Christian Encarnacion Strand coming up and helping you. You know, you hope that what we saw at a CES is more sustainable. I thought he's been swinging the bat a lot better. You hope that Candelario can get going. That's two big bats that you know, you missed today. And then, yeah, I mean, I think India needs a day off. I think if Candelario is back, I think giving India the day off on Friday, giving him 2 days off in a row would be really good. You know, let him refresh and come back on Saturday. But the Reds, I think neither team has announced their starting pitchers, but they're supposed to face a lefty on Friday, so you're probably going to want India in the lineup. It's just there's not a lot of answers when your offense plays this bad. Trace, the only guy that did play well though was Ellie De La Cruz. He had a good day.
He did have a good day. He did have a good day.
The defensive play.
I didn't get a chance to see that. Was it a ground ball or a pop up? Sorry.
It was a ground ball. Espinal, who's playing third base, dove for the ball, missed it. And nothing.
Shocker.
Nothing egregious. I mean, it was.
Sorry, I'm trying to give the people a little something to giggle about, Nick. Okay, I mean, it's been a tough day. Go ahead.
He made a nice effort, diving, missed it.
Oh yeah, participation trophy. Keep going.
I don't even think his glove was far enough, but nonetheless, he dove and Ellie got to it, stopped and threw from like a mile away, and got the runner out by like a full step. So really nice play defensively. Ellie, the first player in baseball this season to hit 5 home runs and steal 5 bases. So look, that's what you hope out of Ellie De La Cruz. But look, he's going to slump again at some point. Not to be negative on this show when I'm supposed to bring the good vibes, but I mean, he's going to slump at some point. He's going to have some ups and downs this year. So you're going to have some other guys really, you know, pick it up.
I hope somebody, like I said, plays out of their mind. We knew Spencer Steer was going to come back down to earth. That's inevitable at some point, and so he can't carry the load. And I know Ellie's actually been playing pretty well, right? Let's give Ellie some props. So kudos to him.
I don't think Steer's had bad at bats though.
I'm not saying he's a problem. I'm just saying though, his production, his actual results aren't going to continue to be what they've been. Like it seems that's impossible.
That's true.
All right, let's move on. Andrew Abbott. Your thoughts.
It was great today. I mean, he, you know, was pitch efficient after the last two guys weren't. So the Reds, you know, really needed that. Two mistakes really. Only gave up 5 hard hit balls the whole day. He walked 3, but I know you were talking a lot about this. I heard a little bit of your on off the bench today how walks are not always indicative of command. It felt like Abbott walking 3 days was not indicative of his command. His command actually felt really good throughout the day. Just kind of walked 3 batters, you know, maybe sort of pitching around in certain spots. None of those walks hurt him because the 2 runs were both only solo shots. But yeah, I mean, he's had an incredible start to the year. He's got a 2.7 ERA right now. Abbott's really, I was a guy who said that I thought he was one of the top regression candidates, and I'm looking pretty dumb for that. He's not regressed at all. He's looked as good as he looked last year when he was dominating early in the year.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the silver lining. I'm trying to find one. That's a silver lining, right? I mean, at the end of the day, if the starting pitching and they had some good days. I mean, I know Hunter Green yesterday was a little kind of like a, I don't know what the right term is for that. That was a mixed emotions in regards to how that went down. He didn't really give up but 1 run. Yeah, he threw, 4 innings and threw 100 pitches again, so that's frustrating. But at the end of it all, they gave their team a chance to win. Starting pitching's been giving their team a chance to win outside of, obviously, Montas, the first game of the series, but Montas has had some good outings as well. You could argue maybe that's because of who they were against, but at the same time, you know, hey, I just can't continue to discredit Montas and who he threw the ball against. He has you throw the ball against whoever you throw it against. If you throw the ball well, kudos to you. So, I guess Andrew Abbott. I don't want to say I expected this out of him, but I do think Andrew Abbott is. As long as he stays fresh and healthy, he'll be just fine. He'll be just fine. I'd be interested to see what Williamson looks like when he comes back too.
Yeah, I mean the Reds right now starting pitching rotation has a ERA of 3.95. That's 13th in baseball. But there's been a couple games where they've had several guys give up a lot of earned runs and still kind of have been able to maintain that. So the starting pitching's been as good as you could have ever really hoped for to start the season. Some ups and downs, but overall, I mean, I think it's been a pretty big success. I think the bullpen overall has been a pretty good success outside of a couple, you know, clunkers. Sims was rough today. I have him on the next bar. I don't really know how much more you want to talk about that, but yeah, I mean, overall, the Reds are pitching pretty well, and that's really, I said it before, that's what's going to, I think, keep this team hopefully afloat. If the Reds stay afloat until until Friedel and Marte are back, it's going to be on the strength of this pitching, because this pitching is very deep, starting pitching, and I think the bullpen is deep, a lot deeper than a lot of these other teams in the NL Central. So, I mean, I'm not obviously not rooting for other injuries to the other teams, but I think when the inevitable pitching injury starts stacking up for everyone, I do think that the Reds are better prepared in that regard right now. So that's something that I don't think it's going to stand out to you over a 20-game sample, over a 40-game sample. But when you start getting into, you know, into July, I do think the Reds' pitching depth is built pretty well. And look, you can win a lot of games with a mediocre offense if you can pitch decent.
Yeah, check out the Mariners.
Yeah, their offense was not that great. Yeah.
No. That's what makes it even more depressing. I don't know how good the Mariners really are. I'm not sure. I'm not saying they're bad because they just beat the what seems to be the piss out of the Reds. But yeah, I don't know how good the Mariners really are. We'll see. We'll find out.
The Mariners did win 90, 90, and 88 games the last 3 years. So
I'm not saying they're bad.
Pretty good team, especially in their home ballpark. I tell you what, I watch Andrew Abbott. I'm like, man, if that guy pitched all his home games at that ballpark, he'd have like a 3.15 ERA at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, that ballpark is nice. Yeah. A couple things here. Game Time app, as always, please download the Game Time app. More than likely, for those right now is not the best time to promote going to Reds games, but maybe you like soccer. Maybe you like FC Cincinnati. Maybe you like, well, actually, if you don't like a whole lot of scoring, if you're into that kind of thing, maybe you should go down to Great American Ballpark. That seems like a good idea right now, if that's what you're into. You're the kind of guy that likes to sit around and, you know, maybe see a run, maybe not. Maybe see a hit. Don't count on two of them, but maybe see at least one hit. Great American Ballpark's your spot. And there's no better place to go to for tickets than the Game Time app. Just two clicks. That's, if you're keeping track, that's one more than what the Reds had today in hits. And what you're able to do then is you can get tickets, you can see all the all-in pricing, and you can use the code CINCY, that's C-I-N-C-Y, and you get $20 off your first purchase, and we would love you if you use that because you're supporting us. We love that you support us. We appreciate you. That is the Game Time app. Go download it. It is solid. Now's a good time to let everybody know. We don't have all the ad reads yet, but I just want to say thank you to the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation for jumping on the show. Very much appreciated them. And today's a good day to let everybody know that the crisis line, if you ever need help, the number's 988. You can also text that as well. So keep that in mind. Keep watching this Reds team, and there's a good chance you might need to keep that in handy. Just saying. I just can't get there today. I'm trying. Can we just be honest with me? Nick, do me a favor before we do Lucas Sims.
Okay.
I know you got a heart out here in a minute. We're gonna speed race through this last final part. Can you tell me, do we suck? Do we suck or not?
I do not think we suck.
Okay. All right.
I think the pitching is good enough to not suck. I think the offense, I think there's some valid concerns, but I don't wanna overreact to them facing really good pitching.
All right, that's good. That's all I needed. You talk me down. That's all I needed. You want to talk about Lucas Sims? I'll tell you what, man. Can we just scoot past Lucas Sims?
What do you? I don't.
Listen, I know. How about this? For those that are wondering, they didn't get a chance to see the game. It was a bad day for Lucas Sims. Okay, we all have bad days. You had a bad day. You know, you get the song. Don't want to get copyrighted because it sounds just like them. Lucas Sims had a pretty bad day. What else is there to add? Nick, you want to say anything else about Lucas Sims?
No. Let's skip to Alexis Diaz.
Nice. That's a good topic.
Nice job for Alexis Diaz. Again, he's been a guy that has not pitched well. At least it's felt like, maybe I'm over-exaggerating it, but it's felt like he's not pitched well in non-closer situations. Did a good job today. Just gave up one hit. Got four outs today. So that's good to see. And he did it on 20 pitches. So good for Alexis Diaz. Outside of that one outing, I feel like he's looked really good so far this year.
Yeah.
And there's going to be save chances coming, and you want Alexis Diaz to be at his best, because the last thing you want is when the Reds start getting it going to blow some saves, because that's how things can spiral a little bit.
I did not get a chance to see Diaz throw, to be fair, because I was racing home, but I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it. And I will say this about Diaz. Someone in the chat, I think John, he had mentioned Diaz almost walked in a run. Well, I do know this about Diaz, and I said this before. Diaz does that. I mean, it's part of the shtick with Diaz.
He came with the bases loaded.
Right.
Lucas Sims walked them all.
I'm pretty sure also that I did see in the box score because I wanted to check how the game ended. He inherited three runners and he gave up none. So I don't know what world that is, but that's pretty solid.
He also in that same at bat, he got a generous strike three. I think that's probably what John is referring to. That was a little bit off the plate. It was not nowhere close to the one that Spencer Steer got called. That was a ball that got called a strike. But in that same at bat, his second pitch was called a ball at the top of the zone, and it was clearly a strike. So
evens out.
It legitimately evened out, and he came in a really impossible spot. Look, overall, he got four outs today. I just gave up one base runner. It's good to see.
It is good to see.
All right, let's get you caught up on all the Reds minor league action from Wednesday. We'll start off at AAA. The Louisville Bats lost 4-3 to Iowa. Bats fall to 7-10 on the season. A starting pitcher for this one, Lyon Richardson. The overall line didn't look too bad. Four innings pitched, just gave up one run, did strike out five. But Richardson, he only threw 49 of his 82 pitches for strikes. He walked four batters in this game. And Richardson has now walked 15 batters in 12 and two-thirds innings so far this season for AAA. So the walks really piling up and a concern early in the year for Richardson. Sam Moll making another rehab appearance. He gave up a home run, three hard-hit balls, and his fastball velocity averaged just 91.8 miles per hour. That's down 2.3 miles per hour from his typical mark. So Sam Moll, after started the rehab assignment, got the rehab assignment shut down, now back on the rehab assignment. Looked pretty good the timeout before, but not the best outing from him on Wednesday. Still certainly some concern there with Sam Moll and if he's able to get back to full health. Also, Ian Jabeau was actually officially returned from his rehab assignment after some sort of setback. No official word yet on what the plan is for him. Yasfer Zuleta in the Reds bullpen, the flamethrower, he struggled, only got two batters out, gave up two runs, and walked two batters, didn't strike anyone out. The offensive side, Mike Ford, though, he had a great day, 2-for-4 with a double. Connor Capel, 1-for-3. Reese Hines, 1-for-4. All right, down to Double-A, Chattanooga, they lost 5-4 to Biloxi. Lookouts fall to 3-7 on the year. Not a whole lot going on in this one. Tyler Callahan, 0-for-3. Austin Hendrick, 1-for-4, but did strike out three times. Zach Maxwell came in the game with the lookouts leading 4-3 with two outs in the eighth, but there were runners on first and third when Maxwell entered. Maxwell walked the first batter on four pitches, then he gave up a two RBI single, which put Biloxi up 5-4. He would get a ground out to end the inning, but this was the first time we've seen Maxwell, the guy who throws well over 100 miles per hour, look mortal so far this season. All right, down to High A, the Dayton Dragons, they won 3-2 over Fort Wayne. Dragons improved to 6-5 on the season. Great day for Sal Stewart, 2-for-3 with a walk. Also stole a base. He's already got two on the year. Sal Stewart was sitting with a cool .442 on base percentage. Ethan O'Donnell, he walked three times and also stole a base. O'Donnell, he's got a .432 on base percentage of his own. Hector Rodriguez was 1-for-4. Leo Balcazar was 1-for-4. Cam Collier and Carlos Jorge each went 0-for-4. Cam Collier had his 11-game hit streak snapped. And then Victor Costa, he was 1-for-3 with a triple, and that triple broke an 0-for-18 stretch. Reese May threw a pitch 103 miles per hour. That was the fastest pitch ever recorded at Dayton Ballpark in Dayton. May, obviously, has some talent if he can throw 103 miles per hour. But he has walked 7.1 batters per nine innings in his career, which is probably why you haven't seen him ranked on any prospect lists lately. All right, down to low A, the Daytona Tortugas. They lost 4-3 to Bradenton in 12 innings. Carlos Sanchez was 0-for-5, but Ricardo Cabrera, 2-for-5, home run, his second home run, also stole a base. The 19-year-old Ricardo Cabrera, he's the Reds' number 9 prospect. He's got a .432 on base percentage and a .984 OPS through his first 8 games. Alfredo Duno, he was 1-for-5 with a stolen base in this one. Eispeth Pineda, another tough day. He was 0-for-4. But Dominic Pitelli was 3-for-5 with a double. Battelli's now hitting .436 with an OPS over 1,200 through his first nine games of the season with the Tortugas. And then Aner Loureiro, two innings, didn't give up a hit or a run, struck out five batters. Loureiro has struck out 11 batters in 6 1/3 innings this season while only allowing one earned run. All right, well, the Reds, of course, are off on Thursday. Certainly, I think, a much-needed off day for the Reds. Reds will take on the Angels starting on Friday night, announced on either side for this series. Just looking at Fangraphs' projections based on where the guys line up in the rotation, Friday would be Nick Lodolo against Tyler Anderson. Saturday would be Graham Ashcraft against Patrick Sandoval. And then Sunday would be Frankie Montas against Jose Soriano. So we'll see. We will have another podcast on Friday morning for you. Just be an audio-only podcast where we'll, of course, recap the Reds minor league action and go a little bit more in-depth and preview the series against the Angels. I'll try to have a guest on as well. All right. Well, I hope that you have a fantastic Thursday. If you could, I know it's tough times for the Reds, but subscribe to Chatterbox Reds. We do this every day. All 162 games we recap, good, bad, and ugly. So I appreciate those of you who stick with us. If you could, give us a five-star review. Say thanks for doing this after a crummy series. We'd appreciate that as well. But of course, as always, as we say, the most important thing, tell a Reds fan about Chatterbox Reds. Looking for some more sports content this morning. Of course, Off the Bench, 10 a.m. to noon on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. Check Trace Fowler out and the guys talking all things Cincinnati sports and beyond. We also have the Kenner and Kev show on Chatterbox Sports, 3 to 5 p.m. That's a simulcast from the radio show in ESPN 1410 Wing AM in Dayton. So some good programming over on Chatterbox Sports for you to check out.
All right, Nick. Let's tie a ribbon and a bow around this whole show.
If you're looking for a reason, Trace, to use that Game Time app to get 20% off your first purchase, there's nothing better. This will be Nick Lodolo's first start at Great American Ballpark in almost a year. Looked incredible against the White Sox. I am looking forward to seeing Nick Lodolo pitch again. I think he's going to give a big, big boost to this team. And hopefully, Trace, just add to this team's strength, which is pitching. Strength on strength, baby.
Find a way to win a baseball game. You know, I think if we find a way to win a baseball game on Friday, I genuinely think the vibes will be back. Today, I don't think they're going to come back. This is one of those ones you just got to sleep off. You wake up the next day and you just try to feel refreshed. You know how that is. I mean, we all have bad days. We do. I'm not going to let this baseball team get me too down in the dumps, though, for being honest. I'm going to try not to, at least. And I will say this. For as down as I've been on this show, they are 10-10. We're begging for a five. We were begging for 500 through the first 2 months. We're 500. I will also admit that the May schedule doesn't look anything like the start of the season, but you know, hey, who knows? You never know. It'll all work itself out, Nick. That's what I'm gonna keep telling myself. So, any final parting thoughts? I know you have somewhere to be. So kudos to you on that. And just remember, it's just a baseball game.
It is just a baseball game. I got to take my son to a minor league game today that I have absolutely no interest in either team. Just the local Lake County Captains. And you know what? That puts baseball in perspective. You know, that's, you know, we talk, I love StatCast numbers. I love arguing about Hunter Green's pitch count and whatnot. But look, that's what it's all about. Go enjoy a baseball game. Go watch your local high school team tomorrow. If they're playing, watch them on your day off tomorrow from the Reds. Enjoy that. You'll get back in the right spirit. You'll be ready to go. And we're going to beat the living hell out of the LA Angels this weekend. Let's go.
Only Nick, man. Only Nick. Only Nick can rise. Can rise the folks that are on their deathbed to their feet. He just did it for me. I'm fired up. I'm about to go find the middle school baseball schedule, and I will be out there tomorrow. I'm going to go watch some baseball tomorrow, everybody. You should go watch some, too. You know why? Because if you've been watching baseball, what you think the last few days, you really haven't, you know? Been pretty bad out there in Seattle. But the good news is, I don't play in Seattle anymore. I get to come home in Cincinnati. Maybe get some of that chili. Maybe get two hits. Maybe find a way to score a couple runs. Maybe they'll find a way to win. But I'll tell you what we will do no matter what. Win or lose, I'm going to be on time Friday. Win or lose, I'll be on time Friday. That's my promise to you. I just want to let you know I love you. Go Reds. Take care, everybody.